Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How you guys doing? You guys doing good? It's getting cooler out. You know what I love is when the temperature drops even 5 degrees, everyone just gets out their full-on winter coat. You know what I mean? It's like it's just been sitting there waiting. We're just ready for the change. My wife always says, I love the fall because I just love the change of the season. Like, that's her favorite thing in the world. So we have like 15 pumpkins in front of our house right now. It's like, it's ridiculous, but it's fun. I think that this month, well, there's a couple reasons why, but October's probably my favorite month of the year, especially for the past 6 years because the Dodgers have been in the playoffs. But last year, it got ugly. In the World Series is very heartbreaking, but go Dodgers. That's all I can say, right? Any Dodger fans here? Giants fans? Any Giants fans? It's all right. You're welcome too. All right. So anyway, I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm going to stick with the whole seasonal thing and talk to you guys about fears and overcoming your fears. And hopefully we'll have some fun with it, but there's kind of a lot of meat to get through, so I'm going to have to be quick. Last time I spoke on a Wednesday night, I went a little long, I guess, I was told. So I'm going to try to keep you guys to where, I guess there's like, I don't know, kids programs or something, and that all matters. So I'm going to try to, keep it at a certain, I think, okay, so I got an hour and 20 minutes. We should be good, all right? I'm just kidding. I got about 30 minutes at the most, all right? Starting in 10 minutes. Okay. Hopefully you guys are doing well. I have no idea. The hardest part about this job, and I see it as a job. That's what it is. It's no different than your job. I'm showing up to do the job that I'm supposed to do. But in this job, it's very difficult because I have no idea what you're going through. And there's no way for me to guess. I can't figure out, you know, if you just lost a loved one or if you just won the lottery. Like, I have no idea. But more than likely, you might be between the two. You know, either you're having a pretty decent day, decent week, or you're having a tough week. I don't know. But I do know that you guys are here for a reason, and you guys are here to learn, and you guys are here to dig into the Word. And so my job, I feel, is to give you what I've been given from the Holy Spirit, from studying and from praying about this, and for you to take it further, and for you to apply it the best you can to your life. And there's a very good possibility that what I'm talking about tonight doesn't apply to you specifically. It's a possibility. If that's the case, I think you should listen anyway, because maybe it'll apply to somebody that you know. Maybe we're here tonight not just for ourselves, right? Maybe we're here tonight to learn something that we're going to be teaching others throughout the week, or sharing with others, I should say, right? Maybe you're going to hear something that I don't even say. Maybe I'm going to say something and you think of something completely different, but you know it's God. Well, I'm 100% in favor of just trailing with your thoughts, all right? So I do it all the time. Sometimes those are good things to do. So if you are caught daydreaming tonight, that's fine. Do it if it's what you're supposed to do, right? But just my big spiel is that we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. This is sacred time because we're here and we're listening to what God has to say to us, right? So let's pray, and we will get right to it. Father, we come to you tonight, and we acknowledge your presence. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts tonight. Lord, I know that there are some people here tonight that don't believe that you can speak to them. But I pray right now, Lord, that you would surprise them tonight. I pray that you would remind them of who you are. And I pray that you would show them that you're listening and that you understand our lives and you understand our pains and our desires and the things that we're going through. And I pray that you'd speak to each and every single one of us here tonight and meet us where we are and take us to where we should be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to start tonight. There's going to be a lot of verses. So if you guys ever need notes, you can always shoot an email. You can shoot an email to me if you want. My email is jveddy@me.com. So if you caught that, great. If not, you can always find me on Facebook. So if you ever want my notes or anything, just let me know. I'd be glad to give them to you. So they just go in the file, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, we're going to start at Matthew 26:2. jveddy@me.com. There you go. So if you're going to threaten my life, that's the email to email me. Give you my address and my phone number and my social later. Yeah, I'll do that later. Okay, Matthew 26:2 says, okay, so Jesus is with his disciples. This is near the end of his ministry, and he's just going to flat out tell them what's coming. It says in verse 2, you know, guys, all right, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man, which is Jesus, he's talking about himself, is to be delivered up for crucifixion. So his disciples are there, and he looks at these guys and says, listen, I mean, as plain as it can possibly be, he says, in a couple days, I'm going to get arrested, I'm going to get crucified, okay? Letting you guys know that it's been a good 3 years, things have been great, but I'm on my way out very soon. And I don't know how all of the disciples took this news, but I know for one of my new favorites and guy that I'm a little obsessed with right now, Peter, it must have went over his head, right? And the last time I talked to you guys on a Wednesday night, I talked about Peter and his sword flinging and all that. I'm going to bring that up again, but for a different purpose tonight. So Matthew 26:47-52. Is the same story that I talked about then. I'm going to talk about it again. 47. I am looking at the Bible here. Do I have? Oh, it's right there. What do you know? All right, technology. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. So what Jesus said, right, to them, of just a few verses back, this is actually happening, okay? Now, he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately, Judas went to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus says, friend, do what you have come for. Let's get this going. I'm ready, right? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus, and they seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out a sword. This is Peter, right? We all know this. And he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, if the only way you can cut off someone's ear with a sword is by going straight down. So I think like he was literally trying to murder this guy. He's trying to kill him, okay? Peter is in full attack mode right here. So Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. So Jesus rebukes Peter. He says, it's not a good idea, Peter, to go on attack mode right now. I already told you what's supposed to happen. It's going to happen. It is what it is. I just told you to be prepared, not to do something about it. And so Peter full-on goes on attack mode in this situation. Now, we're going to see Peter again in the same chapter, Matthew 26:69-75. Let's go there. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. So after Jesus was arrested, taken away, the disciples kind of dispersed, right? And so Peter's sitting outside in the courtyard, just probably going through some stuff, all right? And a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus. You were with him, right? Next verse. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. Now, Jesus told Peter, by the way, that he was going to deny him 3 times, right? It says, when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. So he's being found out. This guy was with him. And again, Peter denied it with an oath, saying, I do not know the man. He's probably getting more indignant, right? He's like, I don't know him, guys. Hey, I don't know the guy, right? It says, a little later, the bystanders, whoever they are, they came up and said to Peter, surely you two are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. So like, even how you even talk like those dudes, right? And he began to curse and swear. This is Peter. This is the apostle Peter who was called to lead the church, right? He's cursing and swearing at this point, at this point, right? Just flipping and flopping and doing the thing. And he's saying, I do not know the man, right? And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembers the word in which Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly, okay? So Peter is in a fearful situation, and the first time that he acts out and does something wrong, he goes on attack mode, okay? And then the second time that he's in a fearful situation where he's being found out, he goes into runaway mode, like, leave me alone. Like, I'm just leave me alone. I'm out of here, right? It's very similar to the fight or flight syndrome, right? Like when an animal is cornered, an animal will you know, start to get an adrenaline rush, and the animal will either, if it can run, it's going to run away, or it's going to fight. And a lot of us know exactly what that is, right? We're animals just the same in a lot of ways as like a basic animal. Sometimes when we see trouble, when we get into fearful situations, we get this feeling of whether we're going to have to fight or if we can run away. Like there's this response that happens inside of us. It's fight or flight. And so Peter, the first time, he fought. And the second time, he ran. It was flight the second time, right? Now, I just want to bring up these two options. When you're in a fearful situation in life, and I don't mean like a haunted house, like Boo kind of situation. Those are kind of fun. We went to a haunted house recently, my wife and I, some friends, and they're kind of lame. The problem with these haunted houses, and this is important that I tell you this, is in case you're running a haunted house here, there's too many boos. There's just too many. Like, there's just, like, too many boos. Like what they need to do is they need to cut out half the boos, okay? And so when you're walking around a corner, maybe there's nothing. And then you walk around another corner, maybe there's nothing. My favorite idea, okay, for a haunted house is to have a house in the middle of nowhere, and you're driven there by somebody who doesn't talk, and they drop you off, and they have a legitimate deranged person inside the house. Maybe their hands are tied so they can't hurt you. I don't know. Maybe there's security. But there's just one person, and you have to go through the entire house, and you have no idea when they're going to scare you, right? Like, that would be cool, right? Is anybody with me? That would be so awesome. I mean, you'd be so scared because you wouldn't know when this, like, possibly maybe he was convicted of a murder. I don't know. This person is, like, really fully deranged, and they could really freak you out, right? You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. So in case you're running a haunted house, I just gave you the idea, all right? Most of them are lame, and I can't figure it out. I can't figure out why these haunted houses are so lame, but it's fun for me to go with people that get scared easily. That's, like, funny, you know? I actually like Halloween. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that from up here, but I do. I think it's kind of a fun holiday. I like all the booze and all the scary stuff and all that. And let's be honest. I mean, if we didn't have Halloween, we wouldn't be able to scare our kids into being good. Right? I mean, really. Like, it's a good time to teach them about murderers and all this fun stuff. Anyway, oh yeah, this is online. Okay. Anyway, I always forget they're recording this. It's just fun. It's fun, right? Scary movies are some of them are fun. Some of them are weird. The Asian ones are a little weird. They just are. They're creepy. I don't know why. Like, anyway, if you guys want to talk more about that, we'll talk later. But if you find yourself in a scary situation, okay, like a legitimately scary situation, sometimes a proper response is to run, right? Sometimes it's a proper response, like to run away. Like, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to live another day, right? Like, if somebody's coming after you, if you can run, you run. That's what you do. And sometimes the proper response is your only option, and that's to fight. God forbid we ever have to fight for our lives, but if somebody comes into your house in the middle of the night and you're stuck, you're probably going to have to fight somehow, right? Like, it's possible. So those options are very plausible in some situations. But what I want to offer you tonight is a third option. And this doesn't have to do with, like, the boo kind of scary things, like the fun, like, haunted house kind of scary things. But this has to do with the kind of fears that actually threaten who you are. One of the reasons I like to talk about fear is because I really believe that if we were all 100% honest today, okay, if we were all 100% honest, we would all have things that we fear that are serious, that are real, right? We may not want to talk about it. We may not want to admit it. But just for a second, just I want you to think about it. Think about the things that really do get inside your head, the things that really do bother you, the things that keep you up at night, the things that you need to pray about. So in the situation with Peter, Jesus told him what was going to happen. And at one point, he attacks. He goes straight into fight mode. And then at another point, he runs away. And I know that some of you guys have been there. Have you guys ever, like, fought with somebody because you were agitated? Fought with somebody because you were really deeply fearful, but you'd have to, like, go deep to, like, really realize that you were even fearful. Maybe you didn't even know. But have you ever gotten in a fight with somebody and it was your fault? And then did you feel good about yourself after that? Probably not, right? Like, usually when we fight and we're not supposed to be fighting, you don't feel good. You don't come back from that saying, oh, yes, thank God I fought that person because I'm scared. You just don't do it, right? At the same time, have you ever ran away from a situation and just got disappointed in yourself thinking I should have stuck that out? So that's the third option that I want to bring to you. So we're going to turn now to 2 Chronicles 20. So 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 says, O our God, will you not judge them, for we are powerless. Okay, so what's going on is the people of Israel are, this happens all throughout the Bible. They're up against an enemy that is very strong, that is very numerically strong, and it's just a very tough enemy. And the people realize that they're outnumbered. They realize that they're in a bad position, okay? So the people of Israel in a bad spot. Once again, they always find themselves in these bad spots, and they're scared. And so it says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So the people are coming to God, and they're saying, we don't know what to do in this situation. For context, you can go back and read it yourself. But it says, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. They're about to be attacked. Then in the midst of the assembly of the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, I don't know how to pronounce these names well, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah. I don't know why they have to put all these names in. I don't know why they do this. It's this guy is the son of that guy. And he said, listen, all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And so somebody who knows God, right, stands up and he says, we don't have to worry because this battle is not our battle necessarily. And that's a common theme throughout Scripture, a common theme throughout kind of life is that God's people are together with him and he's fighting for us, right? It says, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Juriel. You need not fight. This is the important part, okay? You need not fight in this battle. This is what he says to them. Don't worry about fighting. Instead, station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. So these people are, they're bigger than you, they're badder than you, they're scarier than you. And this guy stands up and says, don't worry about it. your job is just to go stand before them and let God fight your battle. And this sounds crazy. From a military standpoint, it sounds like a really bad idea. It says, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Okay? So this theme is constant throughout Scripture, where the people of God are in a bad position and they're going to be attacked. And God constantly says, don't fear because I'm with you. And throughout Scripture, if you just do like a word search, if you guys ever want to do deep studies, a couple of websites that I would suggest is blb.org, blueletterbible.org. You can actually get like the Greek and Hebrew words if you type in the NASB, but blb.org, check that out. ESV. Bible, you can just type in ESV Bible, and you can do word search. A lot of times I will just look that up and type in a word like fear or whatever, and it'll show you how many times it's mentioned. It's kind of cool, kind of a good little tool. But if you do a word search for fear not or fear, it'll show over and over and over in the Old Testament that God is continually telling his people, don't be afraid, which means they were afraid. Which means it was natural for them to be afraid. Which means, if you do nothing and you don't really acknowledge God, you go out throughout life, like you're gonna have fear in your life. Fear is a natural thing. And sometimes it's okay to have that fear, right? It's okay to have fear of getting in a car accident to an extent, because if you're driving all the time, you want to be safe, right? So you want to have a little bit of fear of that, like the respect maybe is a better word. Like you want to understand that accidents can happen or things can happen. You want to understand that there are bad people out there that could break into your house. So you want to lock your door, right? Like there's certain things that are just normal, completely normal. And if we didn't have fear at all, and we kept our front door wide open, and when we're driving on the freeway, we just were texting the whole time or eating a salad or something, like we would die. So fear is a good thing to some respect, but then there's a point where it gets to become a problem when we're constantly afraid of the same thing happening and there's no rationale behind it. Or when fear keeps you from doing the things that you're supposed to do. When fear keeps you from moving into the calling that God has called you into. That's when it becomes a problem. And so I think God would say to you in that situation, if you're in that situation or somebody you know is in that situation, God would say, fear not because I'm with you. Common theme. Fear not, I'm with you. So the first option that we have when we're fearful is what? To fight, right? Like Peter, like fight if you have to. Not the best situation, but if you have to, you have to. The second option is to run, which could be a better option than fighting, right? The third option, which is what's happening here in Chronicles, is God is telling the people to just stand. Stay there. Stick it out. Like if you're in a marriage and your marriage is becoming difficult and you know that it's not God's will for you to leave that marriage, maybe God would say, stand firm. Maybe he would say, stick it out. Maybe he would say, just be tough, be strong. If you're in a job that is becoming difficult, but you know it's not God's will for you to leave, maybe God would say, stay, stick it out. Maybe you're doing some ministry, maybe you're in some, who knows, I don't know what happens in your lives, I don't know. But we can all probably apply this to where sometimes God would tell us to stay put, to stand firm. Another scripture where we see this is Exodus, one of the most famous scriptures. Exodus 14, let's go to that real quick. And I skipped that earlier, but you guys are on it. As Pharaoh drew near, so Moses, he is called by God to lead the children of Israel out of slavery, out of Egypt, right? Out of slavery. And he goes to Pharaoh and asks nicely, Pharaoh, hey, can you just let all these millions of slaves go that are doing all your work? And he's like, nah, it's cool. And and Moses is like, no, really, can you please just let these people go? They shouldn't be enslaved. They're God's people. He's like, no. And so Moses turns to plan B, which is God's plan, and all these, there's all these plagues that happen, and finally Pharaoh's freaked out, and he's like, okay, finally, just let him go. Just get him out of here. Let's just stop this. Babies are dying. This is a bad thing. So If you want the real version, go back and read it. But it's a situation where Moses is leading all these people out of a certain situation, a certain bad situation. He's leading them out, and God has him lead the people to the bank of an ocean, or to the shore of an ocean, and all of a sudden Pharaoh decides, wait, that was our workforce, we need them back. And so Pharaoh decides to send all of his chariots and all of his warriors, throw all of his resources at going to get these people back, and they're not really far away, and they're stuck, basically. And the people they complain, and they get frustrated, and they're like, Moses, did you lead us out here to die? What's going on here? Did you lead us out here to die? Why would you do this to us? The people are coming in. What do we do? It says, if Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by. And another version says, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again, ever. And the story gets kind of cool because God opens up the waters and separates the waters of the ocean and does a crazy awesome miracle, one of the most famous miracles ever. This is the Lord will fight with you while you keep silent. This idea of standing firm is so common in Scripture, and it's something that God would call us to do most of the time, I would say. I would say most of the time when you're in a bad situation, God would tell you to stand firm, to not be afraid, to just let the waves come. Let it come. Whatever it is that's going to come, let it come, and watch God protect you. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this a while back, and I was thinking about the story of where God separates the waters in the Red Sea, and the people are walking through it. And I wonder if God is holding back oceans from destroying us all the time. Like, is he holding back things that could destroy you at any time? Is he holding them back right now and you don't even know? You know, you're just walking through. Who knows? But God is constantly protecting us. In fact, he wants to be our protector. He wants to be our father. That's what he wants to be. And a father is a protector, right? So stand firm. And I was thinking about this, and I was trying to figure out how this works. Like, how do you get to a place where you can stand firm? And one of the things that's important is you need to understand that God is with you, right? But then I started thinking, how do I know God is with you? I know God's with me because of my experiences. But how do I know he's with you? This sounds really bad, but just work with me here. Some of you, you know 100% that God is with you because of your experiences with God. But some of you, you might doubt that God is with you. And I would like to come out here and just say, God is with every single one of you. You're protected. Nothing bad is going to happen. But then, if I were to say that, you would think of somebody you know who believes in God, and something bad has happened to them, right? Here's the deal, okay? I have really made it a point to make sure that what I say up here, even though I might mess up some details, some scriptural details or whatever, I'm really, really trying to be honest. And the truth is, this is the truth, is that just because you're following God does not mean that something else can't harm you. Doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, that was never promised to us. It just wasn't. I mean, the founder of our religion, if you want to call it that, if you don't want to call it that, that's fine. The founder of our movement, okay, Jesus, started it off by being killed. right? So I don't understand why people think that if they're going to follow Jesus, that they're going to be perfectly protected all the time. But here's the thing. Here's the bigger thing. God, through Jesus Christ, has overcome death. So even if you do die, even if that is a fear of yours, okay? Even if you do die, that's okay. You know, and that sounds harsh. And honestly, I'm a father. So the hardest part about thinking about death is leaving my kid, if I'm honest. Like that doesn't sound cool. But I have to trust that God is not only God of me, he's the God of her. And he's the God of my wife, and he's the God of my family. He's the God of you. And if we are with him in eternity, I think this will all make a lot more sense. To me, if there's no eternity, if there's no eternity with God, if Jesus was not correct about that, which I think he was, but if he was not correct about that, then none of this makes sense. It really doesn't. But the cold, hard truth is that no matter what happens to us here, nothing can separate you from the love of God, right? Nothing. And so how do I know that God is with you? I don't, but I do know that you have an opportunity to acknowledge God in everything you do. And it's work, and it's something that you have to put a little bit of effort into. God has done the work. I should say Jesus has done the work, right? When he allowed himself to be crucified, when he allowed himself to be arrested, he didn't have to. He could have walked away from that situation pretty easily. He even tells Peter, "Do you not know that I could just call out angels from heaven and just handle the situation right now?" And he didn't do it. So because he willingly was crucified, we have the opportunity to be really fearless, because what can happen to us? Right? What can happen to us? The worst thing that can happen to you is death. Right? That's the worst. I mean, I'm sure we can imagine some weird things, but ultimately, like, that's it. And Christ has overcome that. Right? He's overcome the grave. He's overcome the fears that are associated with that. The fears of disease, the fears of other people, of bad things that can happen. There are bad things that can happen. Some of you guys are going to die of cancer. Sorry, I might. Who knows? But that's this world stuff. That has nothing to do, or very little to do, with that world stuff, right? If we die of cancer and God allows it and we pray really hard, then you know what? So be it. If you die of heart disease and you tried really hard and God put it on your heart to maybe exercise and eat a little bit better, but you still died of heart disease, whatever, right? It is what it is. Because you serve a God, hopefully you serve a God who is going to 100% welcome you to his kingdom, right? 100%. And I know these are harsh, weird words, but it's October, right? You can talk about this stuff in October. Really fast. I don't have much time. I mean, I'm going to have to do this really fast because I'm literally out of time. But I'm going to give you four ways to get closer to God, to know, to learn, to know that he's with you all the time. First, learn to have faith. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So if you want to have faith, go somewhere that you don't know where you're going. Put yourself out there. Get yourself in an uncomfortable situation, and maybe God will meet you there, right? The second thing is learn to pray correctly. I'm not going to read it, but Matthew 6, 5 through 15, Jesus lays it out and tells you exactly how to pray. First thing is acknowledge him as Father, acknowledge his will over ours. A lot of things that get you thinking a certain way, that get you to kind of feel a certain way, right? So learn how to pray correctly. Third thing is learn to co-create with God. Matthew 28, Jesus, in his resurrected form, tells us that we are able to be a part of his will by making disciples of all nations. Like we're invited to be a part of his will, to be co-creators with him, to go actually make something that doesn't exist. And that's people that are serving him, right? You're going to be a co-creator with God. And the fourth thing is be thankful. And I am going to read this last verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, the peace that don't make sense, right, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's good news, right? There's really nothing to be afraid of. We, as Christians, we should be the most fearless people on the planet, within reason. Not stupid, but fearless, right? We shouldn't worry about the things other people worry about, but I know that hard times come. I know. I've dealt with it in my own family. And it gets difficult, but it's also the things that kind of keep us on our knees. And if what God says and what Jesus says is real and true, then of course tribulation is going to happen. But of course, you can overcome it because he already has. Right? Let's pray. Father, I pray that every word that you spoke would stick in our minds and hearts, and that each person that heard what you had to say to them would just take action. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for every trial, every tribulation, every hard time, and all the good times as well. And I just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. If you guys want to get prayer, if you guys want to make your final decision to really follow Christ, to be fearless, come up and talk to one of these guys that are up front, okay? Love you guys, and I'll see you guys soon.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.